Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. When we left off last time, I was telling you a story to highlight how abuse in a marriage can be very hard to prove. And one of the reasons abuse is hardest to prove is because abusive people are often master manipulators. They give family, friends, counselors, pastors, and others the sense that they are not abusing when indeed they are. Let's pick up the story with a little review, and then afterwards I will make application to us. This is a true story. We have Marty the manipulator. His wife is Margaret the manipulated. I know women can be the ones who manipulate. Manipulation thrives in both genders. But in this case, Marty the husband manipulates, and he is married to Margaret, his wife, who is manipulated. Behind the closed doors and windows of their home, a fairly nice dwelling in a small American town, Marty is a very abusive man, and his faithful wife takes it. His manipulation of her began all the way back when they first started dating decades ago, and the manipulation continues to this day. Let me give you just one example of how Marty manipulates. There are many more. Remember, he has mastered this, but this is all we have time for. Marty manipulates Margaret by presenting himself to the public as innocent and his wife as guilty. He acts one way to the public and another way at home. He's a modern Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Throughout the scenario that follows, you must remember that Marty is definitely abusive. He is verbally abusive. He is sometimes physically abusive, and he is always emotionally and mentally abusive. Remember that. Please keep it in mind. As we catch up with Margaret, she has finally gotten up the nerve to go see their pastor at the church office. She and her husband are members of the Baptist church, and believe it or not, Marty has actually served as a deacon there. No one at church is aware of how he acts at home. Everyone at church loves Marty, but they sometimes find Margaret to be too stiff and not much fun. Margaret has had enough, so she visits with her pastor, and she sits in his office and unburdens her heart through some tears, telling him what it's like at home. The pastor listens for a little while, but then stunningly and aggressively cuts her off. He says her description of Marty is, quote, "not the man I know," and brushes off the abuse. Margaret, the manipulated, just sits there, almost finding it hard to breathe. How is it possible that her pastor is not taking her seriously? She begins to feel that he thinks she's making the whole thing up. And then, wanting to get this complaint off his calendar, the pastor advises Margaret to go see a Christian counselor who also works in their church. Do you see what has happened there? The innocent spouse, Margaret, has been made to feel that she is actually guilty. Guilty of lying about her husband. Her husband, who is in reality the guilty party. She's stunned the pastor believes so much in the innocence of Marty. "That's not the man I know." This statement rings in her ears as she walks down the hall to make an appointment with the counselor, as advised. To make a long story short, what happens in counseling is even worse. Barbara is the counselor. We met her yesterday. She's a Christian. She's on the staff of this same church and a certified psychologist. Barbara is quite competent. She knows Marty from church and she likes him a lot. But she has had some bad feelings towards Margaret associated with a church committee Margaret serves on. So Barbara will counsel this couple that she knows. The first session is just Margaret and Barbara, and again, Margaret works up the guts to say how she is being abused at home. Barbara listens, but then asks Margaret to bring Marty to the next session. Well, back at the house, when Margaret asks Marty to come to the counselor, wow, he blows up. He stomps his feet. His heavy hands land on the kitchen table. He's cursing, ranting, and raving at his wife. I am not going to see the counselor. Why are you pitting Barbara and the whole church against me? Why are you ruining my reputation? He's furious. He heads for the back door and slams it shut, open and shuts it again so hard the house shakes. He holds this attitude for days. He makes Margaret's life a living hell. He's punishing her, you see. He's manipulating her emotions. What he is really trying to do is to get her to call off the counseling appointment, to cancel their appointment with Barbara. There is a method to his madness. Master manipulators always know exactly how to get what they want, even if it takes them a while to get it. But finally, Margaret does not give in. She's desperate for change. The appointment is kept, so Marty will have to change tactics. And when we fast forward a week, Marty has agreed to go. They're in Barbara's office, so it's Marty the manipulator, Margaret the manipulated, and Barbara the counselor pastor. And what happens in that office is remarkable. Continuing with the story now, Marty acts so innocent. He sits there in front of Barbara and his wife and denies any and all responsibility for abuse with a smooth, calm tone to his voice and a gentle demeanor. He says that he honestly does not know where Margaret is getting this from. He loves her and the kids, and he adds, looking right at Margaret, Margaret, if you honestly think I have said or done anything to hurt you, well then, I'm truly sorry. He looks downcast, pained, and sad. Well, Barbara, the counselor, looks at Margaret as if to say, why all this fuss? And then Barbara says something to Margaret that she's never forgotten, and this sentence is why she has never been to a counselor of any kind since. Quoting Barbara, you know, Margaret, accusing your husband of abuse where there is no abuse is a very serious thing. What? How is this even possible? Asks Margaret. Well, do you see what's happened here? Marty manipulates Margaret by presenting himself to the public, in this case to his church, the pastors, and the counselor, as innocent and his wife as guilty. And the public believes him. The public believes him. Marty, the master manipulator, leaves the counseling office feeling justified. And Margaret follows him out the door, down to their car, and together with him all the way home, feeling absolutely humiliated. What an acting job. He's managed to bamboozle even the professional. Some good a degree in psychology had done, huh? The counselor has been totally fooled. Marty deserves an Oscar award for his performance. The effect of what has happened is that Margaret now feels surprised and confused. This cannot possibly be happening. How could they side with him? She wonders. She begins to seriously question herself. Is she really remembering his outbursts accurately, or is something wrong with her memory? And she feels a strong sense of shame and guilt. Is it my fault? Yeah, it's my fault for setting off his temper. I never should have brought this up with the pastor, with the counselor. Eventually, as the abuse continues and increases, Margaret begins to self-isolate from others. She just takes the abuse quietly and submissively. She stops talking about it. She feels numb. When he lashes out, it's almost as if she's having an out-of-body experience in which she watches herself be battered from somewhere above her own body. Margaret feels very anxious at church, like everyone knows and is looking at her and judging her. She does not know what to say to the people who were supposed to help her the most, the pastor and the pastor counselor. Margaret resigns herself to this kind of marriage. She's a shell of her old self. She no longer has any confidence. She stays at home or drives the streets alone, sometimes meeting a family member or friend for coffee, but she never brings up her husband. She is filled with self-doubt, and she dreads being in groups, whereas before she was the life of the party. My friends, this is life when you live with a master manipulator. And this is common. This is also why I have told you that you who suffer at the hands of an abusive spouse should seek counsel from your church only if your local church is prepared to actually help you. Too often the local church fails the abused. And I believe the reason for this is because abuse is very hard to prove, because abusers are master manipulators. Christians, yes, even pastors and trained, certified counselors have a hard time seeing through the lies to the truth. This is malpractice in the ministry and should be treated as such, but that's a topic for another day. Just be discerning when you seek help. I pray that God will lead you to the right church or to the right counselor who can really help you. As with Marty, the abusive husband or wife, sometimes Marty is the wife, will manipulate their spouse by distorting what is really going on, by exploiting the emotions of their spouse with the intention to seize power and control in the marriage. Beware the manipulator. The point I have made, which generated this story, is this. Abuse can be hard to prove because abusers are master manipulators. If you know of someone who is abusive, if you are living at the hands of an abusive spouse, you know they are master manipulators. Well, when you come back tomorrow, let's talk more about this right here on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others. And be sure and join me for the next one.